Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We've been in a series of messages concerning the Lord's Prayer. Prayer being the great adventure of our lives. And I believe it really is. Matthew chapter 6. The disciples asked Christ about prayer, said, "Teach us to pray." And he said, in beginning in verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And then this is our verse for tonight in this model prayer. And he says in verse 12, "And forgive us our debts." Another place it says, "Forgive us of our trespasses." Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Christmas is about forgiveness, isn't it? Really, that's what the whole story is about. And so the Lord reminds us in the Lord's Prayer that we need to be living in the joy of forgiveness. Living in the joy, the happiness of forgiveness. I read a story about Simon Wiesenthal. Simon Wiesenthal told about a 22-year-old trooper that was in the SS Army of the Germans. And Wiesenthal was there in their compound, and he was cleaning up some trash and all. And a nurse came and got him, a German nurse, and said, "I want you to go up. A man wants to talk to a Jewish person. And he wants to talk to you a little bit. He has something he needs to mention to you." What had happened to this 22-year-old trooper was that on one occasion, he was commanded to put 200 people in a house. They put gas cans in that house, and then they threw grenades in that house and caught the house on fire, two-story house. And this young man who was dying, who had been injured in the war, said, "I need to talk to somebody, some Jewish person, and ask them to forgive me." And what happened was he saw all of these people burning up. And he looked up in the second story of that building and he saw a man with his little baby in his arms. And that man put his hands over the eyes of the little baby and jumped. And they were ordered to shoot him if they jumped. And then there was a woman standing right by the man and little baby whom he assumed was his wife. And when they jumped, she jumped and they shot her and killed her, and everybody else in the house burned up. He kept reliving that, and he couldn't stand it, and he begged for forgiveness. And he asked Wiesenthal, after he got up there, "Please forgive me. Somebody, I need some Jewish man to forgive me for what I did." Wiesenthal looked at him and walked away and did not forgive him. Now let me ask you a question. What would you have done? What would you have done in that situation? What would I have done? It's a sobering question. You see, some forgiveness seems very unfair, doesn't it? When it comes time to forgive somebody else, it seems unfair. A man and a woman, to give an illustration, had an empty nest finally. You people that are crying about having an empty nest, let me tell you, it's fun. Don't worry about it. You can adjust to it quickly. But her husband's brother and his wife were killed in a car accident. And they took these children to raise the children. There were three of them. One was 8, one was 10, one was 12 years of age. 9 years later, there was still one in the home. And that child was 17 and was giving them a lot of problems. But the lady had stuck with it. And even though they had had an empty nest, she was willing to rear these children and now go through the trouble this teenager was giving her, this difficult child. And right in the midst of that, her husband decided that he would fall in, I started to say love, but in lust with his secretary down at the office. and announced that he was leaving his wife. After all of that, and after all she had done for those children, and being faithful to him and being faithful during all of that time, he married that secretary. And then the church, of course, gave some affirmation to them, and they went on about their life. And finally, he went to his former wife, and he asked her if she would forgive him. He said, "I want you to forgive me. As a matter of fact, I want you to bless me." And she said, "I will not bless you, and I will not forgive you, but I would really like for you to go." And I'm not going to say what she said, but it wasn't a very nice place. She was not willing to forgive him. She wasn't going to. I'm saying sometimes forgiveness is tough. Forgiveness is very hard. Why should we forgive when it's unfair? Why should we forgive somebody else when we know that we've been mistreated? And we really have. The only thing we can do is go back to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And it's because Jesus said it. Now let me ask you, do you think Jesus was serious about what he said? I believe he was. I believe he meant what he said. And that makes it very difficult. It's a difficult trick. The most important words in all of the phrase in the Lord's Prayer are mentioned there. And these are some that probably were the most important. If we could select some verse that was more important than other verses, it would be this one. Because when you drop down, you'll find out in verses 14 and 15, he added a commentary about that particular verse. He didn't about the others. But he said in verse 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." This is an addendum to the Lord's Prayer. But he goes back to verse 12 by stating this. Verse 15, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's pretty strong, isn't it? So he gave it a lot of emphasis, and he gave it strong emphasis there in verse 12, and then he gave a little addendum as a commentary about it. And so the reason it is so important is because it is the condition, really, of my forgiveness and your forgiveness, and it is proof that God really lives in your heart if you can forgive others, and if you can't, it's proof that he doesn't live in your heart. It's very strong. And we can't dogmatically say, but we know that that is the nature of forgiveness that God teaches us we should have. Now turn over very quickly to Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. A good question, and look at it. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord," verse 21, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven." What Jesus was really saying, and was just keep on forgiving him. There should be no end to our ability to forgive other people. You know the parable, the story of a man who could never repay his debt. He owed it to the king, and the king came to him, and there was no way he could repay it. There was absolutely no way. It would take him 13 years to pay one talent, and he owed the king 10,000 talents, so it would have taken him mathematically 130,000 years to pay back what he owed. There was no way, obviously, he could do that. Now, the king could have had him killed, but he didn't. The king forgave him. By the way, this is our story, isn't it? We owed a debt we couldn't pay. There was no way we could ever pay it. In all of eternity, we could not pay it. We might suffer in hell forever and ever, but that's still not going to pay the debt in full. But the king could have killed him, but he didn't have him killed. He forgave his debt. Wasn't that great? The king, how would you like to have owed that much money and somebody say, I forgive you? In fact, whatever you owe tonight, wouldn't it be nice if somebody said, let's just write that off? That would be really good. But this is what he did. Now, that same man turned around and went to somebody else who owed him 3 months' worth. Compare that to what he owed. This was 3 months' worth. Peanuts compared to what he owed. And you know what he had done to that man who owed him peanuts? He had him thrown into prison. He would not forgive him and had him thrown into jail. Well, the king called him on the carpet. And he checked with him to see what he had done. And after he got through reprimanding him, he said, because you've done this, I'm going to give you full punishment. Total punishment because of what you've done. And he had to face the consequences of it. And that is the story of our salvation through Jesus Christ and our forgiveness that we've been given. What a great debt, an immeasurable debt God has forgiven us, Jesus has paid for on the cross, and he expects us to have the attitude of forgiveness. And that illustrates our salvation. The king is God. The servant would be like all of us, and we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And then we want all of his forgiveness. But what a hypocrite who says, I will not forgive. I want all of God's forgiveness. I accept it all. And I want him to forgive me, but I will not forgive. And that's the attitude of some Christians. Now, unforgiveness, and this will be a strong statement, but unforgiveness may indicate that a person has never been saved. It may indicate, if you have no ability to forgive, it may indicate that you've never been saved. You see, the king was angry and he turned him over to the torturers. In Matthew 18:25, he tells us about that. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. It would indicate in the typology that it's possible that there are those who will not have a forgiving heart. And it's because they have never actually been saved and received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, don't misunderstand me. You cannot lose your salvation. We all know that. At least Bible believers know that. Once saved, always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. But if you willfully harbor unforgiveness in your heart, the reason may be, it's possible, that it's because the Holy Spirit does not live in your heart also. And wherever the Holy Spirit lives and wherever the Holy Spirit dominates and the Holy Spirit is in charge, then the attitude is going to be one of forgiveness. Romans 8:9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So how do you reconcile the fact that there are people who will not forgive? Because if the Holy Spirit lives in their hearts, then they should have an attitude of forgiveness. I'm saying it is at least possible that those who are unwilling to forgive have never experienced the forgiveness of God. If forgiveness fills our hearts, then I believe it's clear that the Holy Spirit is indwelling and the Holy Spirit is controlling our lives. And then we need to forgive in order to be forgiven. That's what he's teaching us here. Forgive in order to be forgiven. All of us know, probably, some Christians who have a very unforgiving attitude. That also is possible. It's possible maybe they weren't saved, but it's also possible, certainly probable, that there are Christians who have an unforgiving spirit. They are saved, and many of you might know someone like that who have grudges and bitterness and anger in their hearts. And they, though they are saved and come to church, they followed the Lord in believers' baptism and all of that, they still are bitter and angry and they hold grudges. Now, what about those people? What's the problem there? If people claim to be saved, and indeed they are saved, and they are still holding grudges. You see, the relationship that we need to have is a relationship of God and a relationship of oneness and being in God's will in our lives. And we cannot do that if we have grudges. You can't pray and expect God to hear your prayers and answer your prayers if you're bitter and angry and have grudges. What does the Bible say? He says, if you have a gift and you want to bring it to the altar, the first thing you need to do if you have a grudge against somebody else is go make it right with that person and then come back and offer your prayer or your gift unto God. God says grudges are not good, and I'm not going to honor you and your prayer if you have bitterness and anger in your heart. Husbands, wives, listen up. Folks who have been hurt, listen up. This is what God says. Lord Herbert said, he who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must someday pass. Isn't that true? He who cannot forgive others, I might say would not forgive others, breaks the bridge over which he himself must someday pass. You say, but they hurt me. They hurt me. Well, do you want to heal the pain? Do you want that pain to go away? Do you want to heal it? The only way is to forgive the person who hurt you. That pain will never go away until you forgive the person who hurt you. And what we need to do is release the wrongdoer. Release that person who hurt us from our wrath and our bitterness and our anger. And when we do that, we'll cut out a malignant tumor that is in our lives that's hurting us as much as anybody else. The way we do it, by doing that, is we set a prisoner free. And you'll be the one that was set free if you'll forgive somebody. And if you'll ask their forgiveness, if you'll quit holding a grudge against them. That's what he's saying in that verse. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. That is a command of the Lord. It is emphatic in his word. It is clear. It is there. It's part of the Lord's prayer that you and I need to be aware of. And so we need to set people free, and we find out we really are set free. Buddy Hackett, and I usually don't quote him in my messages, but this is one time I want to. He said, I've had a few arguments with people, but I never carry grudges. You know why? He says, While you're carrying a grudge, they're out dancing. And that's about right. Not that Baptists would ever dance, but that's the case. In other words, they're out having a good time. You're seething. You're letting that mess your whole life up, and your spiritual life, your prayer life, and all of your relationships is all messed up because of that, while they're out there not even thinking about you, not even worried about it, generally speaking, and having a good time in life. Let me give you four steps that go along with forgiveness and what we usually experience in that relationship when somebody hurts us. First of all, the stage is hurt. And nobody in this building has escaped being hurt. Everybody in this building has been hurt in some measure, at some time, in some way in your life. None have escaped it. And we really do hurt. God didn't say deny the hurt. God didn't say we don't hurt. That's not the issue. We do feel it when somebody hurts us. We're human, and we recognize it, and it hurts us. The second step for most people is, and this is a pretty strong word, but it goes straight to that almost, and that is hatred. I mean, when you've really been hurt, it goes to a sort of a hatred in our hearts towards somebody else, and we start thinking of speeches we'd like to give them. And we think, if I could see them walking down the road, I'd like to run over them with my car. You'd never think anything like that, would you? Maybe something else in the ballpark like that, or something that is pretty close to it. So you have hurt, and then you have sort of a hatred that comes in, but the third thing that is needed is healing. Healing. We need to see the person in a new light. When we forgive, then there's healing. We see them in a new light, which is what God wants us to do. Our memory begins to heal. The pain is gone, and then we are free from the hurt. I remember a lady coming to me that was so bitter and angry at her father, who had been cruel and had been mean to her and had actually molested her when she was a little girl. And she said, Pastor, it's about to kill me. I just can't hardly stand living this way anymore. And so I gave her the formula that God gives us in His Word. And I said, whether he'll accept it or not, you forgive him. You get your heart right with God and you forgive him for what he did, because God says, forgive him. And this is troubling you and bothering you. She came to me just a little later. She said, I contacted him. He came, we talked, I forgave him. We have a relationship that is good now. It isn't perfect, but it's good. But she said, I have been freed up from all of this hatred and all of this animosity. It was bothering her marriage. But after that, she got these things straightened out. And then the fourth thing is a coming together. A coming together. And that's where you need to invite the person that has hurt you to come back into your life. You forgive, the healing starts in your heart, and ask them to come back into your life. If he or she will repent and do it, then you accept it and they come back. Love moves you to a new relationship, a good relationship, a godly relationship. Now at this point, part of it depends on the person you forgive as much as it depends on you. You still have to get that forgiveness out. But whether they will accept it or not, if they don't come back and they don't come to your place where you've forgiven them, then you've just got to heal by yourself. But it'd be better to heal all alone than not to heal at all. And we need to be willing to forgive. That's what the Lord said. And sometimes we've got to understand, we've got to imitate God. We have to imitate what Christ has told us. Imitate God's forgiveness. An unforgiving Christian brands himself or herself as a hypocrite. You say, I'm a Christian, but I will not forgive. My friend, that's totally hypocritical. And you brand yourself as a hypocrite when you claim to be a Christian and you cannot forgive somebody else for what they've done to you. You see, we've got to remember he's forgiven us. Let me ask you tonight, has God forgiven you? If so, say amen. He's forgiven us of a lot. Would you want to come up here and tell everything God's forgiven you for? I don't think any of us would. I know I wouldn't. And you say, well, preacher, can I do this? Well, I guess you can, or he would have never said that. Right? He would have never said that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If it were impossible, he wouldn't have required it of us. But that's part of what he's saying in this model prayer with these principles, and that is that we can do it. Now, you'll never do it in your own strength. If you're just trying to do it in your own strength, you're not going to get the job done. You know why? Because forgiveness is not natural. Let me tell you what forgiveness is. It's supernatural. Amen. It is not natural. If you just live in the natural realm, you'll never get it done. But it is supernatural. Some people get mad at God and they ruin their lives because they don't forgive God as if God needed forgiving, but they don't get that right in their heart in their relationship to God and other relationships. Forgiveness is not natural, but it is supernatural. And who gives us the resources? The Holy Spirit who lives in us. The Holy Spirit of God. You say, I can't do it. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in me. I cannot do it naturally, but I can do it supernaturally with the help of God through the Holy Spirit's power. I can forgive anyone if I'll just appropriate those resources. Now here's another thing we can learn to do is forgive before you need to be forgiven. So what do you mean by that? Forgive before you need to be forgiven. And I think about morning prayers. And this is a good little thing that you might include in your morning prayer. It'd be good for all of us. Something like this, we might say, Lord, I know somebody's going to hurt me today, but I want to forgive them already. Do it before it ever happens. And that's what's going to happen. You're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings probably in a given 24-hour period of time. That's going to happen. But if you'll build it into your day and say, Lord, nothing that happens to me will require the kind of forgiveness you've given me. It's not going to require the forgiveness you've given me that requires the offering of my only son or anything like that. And I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to look down before it ever happens and say, Lord, I am willing to forgive. Somebody's probably going to hurt me today, but I forgive them already. That's tough. But if you'll get that framework in your mind, and I would get it in my mind, build it into our day, that would be something that we would be great for us to do, and we need to imitate the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe some of us need to go home and do a little homework tonight. Maybe some of us need to go home and write a letter or make a phone call or make an appointment with someone and say, I need to get with you. I need to talk to you. I need to see you. Or just write them a letter if that's impossible to be with them, and let them know that you have forgiven them for what they did for you or to you during that time. You see, God forgave all of us, and He did it freely. I'm glad tonight I'm a forgiven person. I'm glad that God has forgiven me of all of my sins, past, present, and future. I know there's a responsibility as a child of God, and if I don't want to be chastised, I shouldn't sin, and so on and so forth. But positionally in Christ, I've been declared justified, just as if I'd never sinned, and my sins are under the blood, and all of my sins are forgiven. And God has freed me up from the debt of my sin in order that I would be able to free others who hurt me. Simon, you remember the story of Simon the Pharisee, and they brought a woman of ill repute to his house. And she humbled herself and washed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Simon acted like that he was not sinful. The truth of the matter was, he was just as sinful as that harlot. He was just as wrong, just as sinful, because he had broken the laws of Almighty God Himself. And he didn't think he needed forgiveness, perhaps, but he needed as much forgiveness as she needed. And thank God, God grants it. But we need to remember tonight who we are and what God has done for us. Just think about the fact that you're a sinner, you're lost, you're on your way to hell. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came into this world and died on the cross. And one day, you got on your knees, or you were lying in a hospital bed, or maybe driving down the road, or wherever you were, and there should be a point in time where you know that you got saved. It's not progressive, it's knowing. It's making the decision, coming to Christ, and being born again. And you remember what you did if you got saved. You said something like this, something similar to this. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And when you said that, you maybe thought about some things you had done in your life, but you were convinced in your mind and in your heart, I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. And I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart. And let me ask you something. Did He do it? If you meant it, my friend, you know He did it. He forgave all of your sins. I'm glad tonight He's forgiven me of my sins, and I'm sure that you are. But don't forget who you are. Your sins forgiven. And don't forget that Jesus said, I'm going to take them and put them and cast them into the deepest sea. And then if somebody else said, I'm going to put up a sign that says, no fishing. We'll never have them held against us. He will not remember them against us anymore. That's what the Bible says. Now, aren't you glad it's an unconditional grace? I didn't deserve to be saved, did you? I don't deserve to go to heaven tonight, do you? If you think you do, you better go back and check what you had, whatever experience you had. Because, friend, none of us deserve to go to heaven. You do not earn the right to get into heaven. That is a horrible lie from hell and the devil. We're saved unconditionally by the grace of Almighty God, and only that way. Now, if God can forgive our debt, then He says for us to forgive others. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are debtors. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Is there anybody in your heart, in your mind, in your life tonight, no matter who it is, that you're not willing to forgive? May I simply suggest to you tonight, on the authority of this book, you're not right with God until you're willing to ask their forgiveness. And maybe, just maybe, it'd be the best thing for you to talk to them. Be sure you get it out of your heart and then contact them. Talk to them. I don't care if it's your former wife, your former husband. You have to be very careful with those things, I know. I don't care what it may be, whatever that relationship may be, but you need to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. If God has forgiven us, we ought to forgive others. You know what? That'll keep people from fighting in the church, wouldn't it? That'd keep churches from splitting, wouldn't it? If we'd learn to forgive others, just like we have had forgiveness from God. May God help us be able to do that. And I'm glad to report to you tonight, if you had come to Christ as your Savior and trust Him, He'll forgive you of all of your sins, all of your debt. Every ounce of it, He's paid for it. And He wants to forgive you. But He's not going to do it until you ask Him. He's not going to do it. Let us forgive others. If you've never been forgiven, ask Christ into your heart tonight. Let's stand, please. Our Father God, we thank You for the Bible. We thank You for Jesus' life and the privilege to take a glimpse into His life, to see and hear a conversation between the disciples and Christ when they ask Him to teach us to pray. And then this 12th verse where He said, pray like this, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Give us a heart and the grace to do that tonight, Lord. If there's anybody here without Christ, I pray they would come and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.